history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories out there that need to be heard. There are heroes around us, and if we take the time to listen, we'll be amazed by their stories. We want to honor our veterans for their service and the sacrifices they've made. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And as we take that journey, we learn a lot, we're educated, we're entertained, we are inspired by these stories from our greatest generation, like the one you're going to hear today from a Marine from World War II, and not just any Marine, one who served in a special unit called the 1st Provisional Marine Brigade. Maybe you've heard of it. You're going to hear about it today from 94-year-old Art Smith of Escondido, California, but a guy who grew up in Michigan and whose parents came over from England. What was it that caused your family to move from England to the U.S. shortly before you were born?
He could see that he didn't want his sons, they had two of them there, to get that coal dust and everything, and that's all they lived for. So he moved his two sons and his daughter to the United States, Witt, Illinois. And the funny part is he went to the mines in Witt, Illinois for a while, and then he moved to Chicago, and then he moved to Lansing, Michigan. But I was born in Witt, Illinois, a small town outside of Springfield.
So he was a coal miner in England?
Yes.
But he didn't want the kids to grow up around that?
That's right. And the funny part is, years later, after my mother died, he lived with me a number of years. And one night he called out and he said, "Arthur, I don't feel good." He'd been checked before. And David, my son, who would send a bunch of World War II vets for back, was just a young boy then. And we both went to the hospital. And he died from this lung disease that caused by the coal miners.
Well, I mean, the first thing that occurs to me there, if he hadn't had that foresight, I mean, you wouldn't have been born in America. You would have been one of those Brits, and you'd be talking funny right now. I bet you've done a British accent in a play once upon a time.
I have. I've been in Brigadoon, and you get your gun, you can't take it with you, barefoot in the park. It's funny, I got the best supporting actor in one of them. It's just something to try and get confidence because I was very shy person.
Growing up as the youngest of five kids, first in Illinois and then in Michigan, what do you remember about your childhood during the 1930s?
The 1930s, good Lord. Well, we were very poor, but he got a job working for the School for the Blind, my dad did, in Lansing, Michigan. I used to go picking up ice and peddling papers and trying to keep busy. And I remember my sister, she worked for a hospital there. I used to ride her on my bicycle. She was scared to go in the morning. And then I'd go back and then go to school.
Do you remember as a boy having a dream, an ambition? Hey, when I grow up, here's what I want to be. Here's what I want to do.
Well, we were very poor. And I just wanted to make sure we made out all right. But things worked hard. The harder you worked, the better it got. After I come out of the service, I worked a night shift and cutting steel. I didn't want that to do, but they taught me purchasing because I'd been out in the plant. And I ended up working in charge of the purchasing for that plant and two other plants. And I think the Marine Corps had a lot to do with that. I mean, they don't say it's too hard. They say, go get it.
And we're going to jump back into Art's story in a bit. But so we have some perspective on what he did and also what he inspired. I want to introduce you now to Art's son, Dave Smith, who channeled his father's Semper Fi spirit in launching Honor Flight San Diego, an all-volunteer, donor-funded group that has now delivered well over 1,000 World War II veterans from the San Diego area to their memorial in Washington, D.C.
Well, Honor Flight San Diego started back in 2010, and I had the honor of serving as a guardian for my father, Arthur Smith, on a Lone Eagle trip back to Washington, D.C. And what Lone Eagle means is Honor Flight Network started in Springfield, Ohio, and they reached out to veterans nationwide. If there were areas that did not have an Honor Flight hub, the national headquarters would set up trips called Lone Eagle trips and bring folks in. I attended as my father's guardian, as I mentioned, and as we were ending the weekend, I went up to Jim McLaughlin, the national chairperson for Honor Flight Network and said, this is incredible. I'd love to volunteer in San Diego for the Honor Flight Hub there. He said, well, you don't have a hub. I said, well, we're going to have one now. And so I came back, and basically my cul-de-sac became the original board of directors for the Honor Flight Network. We did have a few folks from outside of it, but I had some key folks in my cul-de-sac that had the capability to serve on the board, and I enlisted them. And in July of 2010, we had a founding meeting in my family room, and the original board meeting actually in my dining room that day.
Have you ever wondered about what if you decided, it's too big, it's too much, I can't do it?
No, it's just been the best thing I've ever done in my life since I started this thing, so never looked back whatsoever.
And how many World War II veterans from San Diego have gone now?
Since we've started, we've taken 1,063. And part of my mission also is to get as many World War II veterans back, and that's part of the Honor Flight Network's mission. And so I've helped 13 other hubs get started around the United States, so I'm very proud of that. Since we've started, we've taken 1,063. And part of my mission also is to get as many World War II veterans back, and that's part of the Honor Flight Network's mission. And so I've helped 13 other hubs get started around the United States, so I'm very proud of that. The Honor Flight Network now totally has taken over 155,000 World War II veterans back to Washington, D.C.
And it really is amazing because people think they can't make a difference or they can't make a big enough dent. But your story is evidence that when you step out in faith and you show some leadership, you never know what's going to happen. And you've got those 1,000-plus veterans right here in San Diego. And think about that, all the veterans in San Diego. I mean, where is there a bigger veteran population than San Diego? And none of them would have gone.
Yeah, San Diego and Southern California and then the East Coast are the two highest populations of veterans. And so we still have a lot on our waiting list wishing to go. So we're out there still trying to make it happen.
And you mentioned that what turned you on to this was going just with your father, the two of you together. And your father's got quite a story from the Marine Corps. And I'd love for you to share whatever you want, but even just this one story where he's a Marine on Guam and there's a Japanese intruder.
Yeah, that's one of the things he doesn't like to talk about too much. But he was standing guard one night on Guam and a Japanese intruder came up behind him with a knife, intending to take my father's life. And the intruder had a bag of 11 hand grenades, and the intent was to go in and throw them into tents around the camp there. My father happened to hear rustling behind him, turned around, and he won the battle between the two of those. His commanding officer allowed him to bring home a samurai sword, which he has to this day, and it still bothers him that to think about what he had gone through at that point in time, and feels bad for that was trying to kill him to this day.
But by, to put it bluntly, winning that one-on-one battle with that soldier, he not only saved his life, he saved probably dozens of others because of all those hand grenades, and you wouldn't have been born, right? And if you aren't here, Honor Flight San Diego isn't here.
Well, there might have been somebody else that stepped in, but at least we started it when we started it.
And I know there's so many vets. When you've got over 1,000 vets, there's so many incredible stories you've heard. There's so many powerful moments you've seen in Washington, D.C., at the memorial. Probably a lot of unplanned moments that you never could have anticipated. But what's your biggest takeaway as far as what this experience does for the veterans that you take?
Well, we know a lot about post-traumatic stress disorder nowadays, and many of our veterans went through very traumatic situations during the war, and then they just came back, went to work, moved on with their lives, had their families, and as we get back and go through these events here, they're finally able to find someone else to talk about their experiences or fellow veterans, and we found this has been very, very therapeutic for them. It wasn't our initial intent. We just generally wanted to honor them, but it's had some very beneficial effects as well.
And are there a few moments from all the trips, from all the veterans that really stand out to you that when, you know, when someone says Honor Flight San Diego, this is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Thinking about our humble heroes, I've never been around a group of individuals like the World War II veterans that are more humble about what they have done. Mm-hmm. They basically say, our country called and we answered the call. And that's true. And they basically answered the call and they saved the world.
They did. And, you know, San Diego has help save the opportunity for these guys, too. You've got a pretty impressive story just within the last year where what seemed like a nightmare or a disappointment turned into a big plus for Honor Flight San Diego. What happened there?
Well, we've had, and we've been very fortunate, we have several major donors, and a few of those major donors will be donating again, but due to some business issues or a few of other things, had to postpone donating, and all of a sudden we didn't have enough funds for a flight. And so we put the word out that we were going to have to cancel our spring flight because of a shortage of funds. Well, the word got out into the media. We had a fundraising event, and within days, we raised $400,000.
And you said you still have a waiting list, so you're still taking just World War II veterans unless there's a terminal case for someone that needs to go now. How many World War II veterans do you have waiting?
Well, currently, we have a couple of hundred on our waiting list, but when we look at the VA records in terms of the number of World War II veterans down here, or the reports that we read, there are still hundreds and hundreds of World War II veterans in the Southern California area. And I get calls on a regular basis going, well, I never even heard of you. So one of the most important things that can happen out there is if you know a World War II veteran, let them know about us. Mm-hmm. Go to honorflightsandiego.org, download a veteran's application, and get them signed up. We'd love to get them on our list, and we'd love to take them to Washington, D.C. to visit their memorial.
You know, another thought that comes to mind, David, this is all about honoring the greatest generation and getting these guys there before it's too late. But what have you seen as far as the impact on younger generations of Americans and how this effort to honor these guys from the past has maybe even informed the present and the future?
I think that's one of the most important things that we get from this. We try to include with all of our homecomings and special events young folks. So whether we have Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, different younger groups that are involved. When we do events at the Veterans Museum, we always include younger folks, high schools. We've actually taken many of our World War II veterans around to history classes in the different schools in San Diego and had them explain about their experience. So we don't let this just drift into history. They learn about that. And again, they learn that freedom isn't free.
How long are you going to keep doing this?
I haven't planned on giving it up right away, and we are bringing more and more folks in. I founded this back in 2010. Julie Brightwell is now our chairman. Jeff Hall is our vice chairman. So we have a much larger group of board members and folks that are helping us pull this off. But I intend to be involved with this as long as I can.
Is the idea that if you're able to work through all these World War II veterans, you move on to the next conflict and take some Korean War vets back as well?
Yes. We've already taken a few Korean War veterans that were terminally ill and Vietnam veterans. We will continue on with Korean War and Vietnam veterans. We know time's of the essence for both Korean and Vietnam veterans, and we are losing both, and so our mission is urgent to get them back as soon as we can as well.
Amen. Well, way to go, Dave. Thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do. Is there anything else that you want to say before we get back into your dad's experiences?
I'd just like to say thank you to all of our veterans serving today and our veterans from the past from all the different conflicts throughout the world. We would not be living in this wonderful country we're in right now without their service.
That's the bottom line, and we also know that Dave wouldn't be here if his father didn't make it home from World War II as a Marine. Dave told you that story of a close call with a Japanese intruder, but that's not the only close call his dad survived on Guam. Now that you know so much about Honor Flight San Diego and how it started, and of course there are similar stories all across the country with the Honor Flight Network, when we come back, you're going to hear the rest of that World War II Marine Corps story of Dave's dad, Art Smith. You'll find photos of both of them at hometownheroesradio.com and on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this. Remember when the bank gave you free checking and savings accounts, even making money for you when you kept your dollars there? Paul Leffler here to say I've recaptured those days, and you can too with EECU. It's not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that just keeps growing and growing. The newest branch is in Tulare, and nearly a quarter million EECU members represent 10 different California counties. As little as $250 in a savings account earns you dividends and access access is so easy. 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And I haven't even told you what I love most about EECU, the credit union's support of causes up and down our area, like Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 800 veterans have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free because of the leadership and financial support of EECU. Ready to join the team yet? Call 1-800-538-3328.